encourage our soul. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We do welcome each and every one again to the house of the Lord tonight. It's good to see each one that has gathered out. We rejoice even in the gathering together of God's people. We do pray that the Lord will bless us as we're in his house tonight. It is a joy to have our brother, the Reverend Julian Patterson. He's a minister in our Ballymagurney congregation. And he's also here on behalf of Let the Bible Speak this evening. And we want to welcome him in the Saviour's name. And we want to thank him for coming. And I got to know Julian during our time in Bible College. When I started, he was in third year, and we had 2 years of fellowship and time together. And it was good to get to know our brother then. It's always good to renew fellowship with him. We're going to invite him now just to go to the pulpit and hand the meeting over to him at this stage.
Can you turn, please, in your Bibles to the book of 2 Thessalonians? 2 Thessalonians and the chapter number 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Can we just say on behalf of Let the Bible Speak, we thank you sincerely for your faithful support of Let the Bible Speak down throughout the years, and thank your minister in session once again for the opportunity to be here and to deputise. This is my first time here in this capacity with you. We've been here before many times, many happy memories as a student. As our brother has intimated, we always look forward to coming here as a student, and it's hard to believe we're 5 years ordained next week. Time quickly passes by, and it is a real joy personally to be here and as well on behalf of Let the Bible Speak. We want to do a few things tonight. A short devotional message, first of all, from 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. And we'll give just a brief report, and then the video, the DVD, it will fill in the blanks. It is very encouraging, and we trust you'll be buoyed. You'll be encouraged as we think of what God is doing through the work of Let the Bible Speak. It is really encouraging just to see what the Lord has done through it, and what he is doing, and what he yet will do through it in the days to come. But 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and we'll just read verses 1 through 5 for sake of time. Familiar words, I'm sure, to many here tonight, but we trust that familiarity will not breed contempt. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Paul is in Corinth, we believe, as he writes these words to the church at Thessalonica that he had already been with and established in the book of Acts. Verse 1, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil, and we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Amen and amen. Truly, verse 1 and verses 2 we want to base our remarks on tonight. And verses 1 and 2, again, we simply read, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. It was during the days of the Protestant Reformation that Martin Luther and his good friend Philip Melanchthon, they were met together, met in a church, and they were met together to really do a number of things. They were met to discuss various incidents that were going on at that particular time within the papacy, within the papal ranks. Of course, the papacy were rising up, seeking to stop, seeking to thwart the work of God. And they were meeting to discuss this and obviously then to pray about the way ahead. And just as Melanchthon and Martin Luther were met in the church on that occasion, were having these discussions, these deliberations in this time of prayer, suddenly someone came to them from the front of the church, a deacon, a church usher, someone like that. They came to Melanchthon. And they said essentially to Philip Melanchthon, there's someone at the front of the church. We're colloquializing here. They were obviously speaking in German. But there's someone at the front of the church, and they wish to speak with you. And Melanchthon, he made his way down through a very long and narrow corridor, a very large church chapel building. And as he made his way through the corridor, he heard something. He heard voices. I wasn't going crazy. These voices, they get louder and louder, and eventually he stopped at a room. And as he stopped at that room and he listened in, he recognized that it was some members of his congregation. And they were met together and they were actually praying. It was unknown to him and Martin Luther. And they were met together praying specifically for him and for Martin Luther. There were older individuals there, but there were also younger individuals there. There were teenagers there and there were children there as well. And this really encouraged Melanchthon as he was seeking to chart a way ahead, as I have said, in the work of God. And he actually thought of that lovely verse in Psalm 8 verse 2. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies. He went and dealt with the individual, the particular matter, in front of the church. And then he came back to Martin Luther. And as he came back to Martin Luther, he was extremely encouraged, extremely buoyed, extremely upbeat by what he had heard. And he was extremely, as I've said, he was delighted just at that thought of his congregation met together praying for him and for Martin Luther as they charted the way ahead. He said this, Martin, let us not be discouraged, for I have seen our noble protectors, and I venture to say that they will prove invincible. And it was that simple, and yet that very, very, very encouraging thought of God's people praying for him and praying for Martin Luther in the work of God, that really gave their discussions, gave their time fresh impetus. And on they went, just buoyed by this thought of God's people met together praying for them. And the Apostle Paul, he could have written anything to the Church of Thessalonica as he closed out this second letter. The second letter to the Thessalonians, the church that he had seen started really and confirmed and established. You read of this in Acts chapter 17 during his second missionary journey. He is writing to them, and as I said, he could have spoken on a number of topics he has already dealt with in this book, and indeed his first letter in 1 Thessalonians. But how does he finish off his letter? He simply states to them in verse 1, brethren, pray for us. Brethren, pray for us. Why did he ask them to pray for him and for his missionary companions? Well, as I've said in my opening remarks, the Apostle Paul was probably labouring in Corinth. As he was writing this letter, as he sat down to take time and write this second letter to the church of Thessalonica, you think of his time in Corinth, how difficult it was. You read the book of 1 and 2 Corinthians and you discover it was a very difficult and a very problematic city to minister in. Full of sin, full of idolatry, full of wickedness, full of all of the sins that we face today. There is nothing new under the sun, folks. You read 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verses 9 and 10. And how he even states, such were some of you. How he speaks of drunkenness. How he speaks of revilings, which is essentially brawling, fighting. How he speaks indeed of adultery and of sodomy. He faced all of those issues 2,000 years ago or so as he was labouring in Corinth. And in light of the fact of all of the issues, all of the sins that he faced as he ministered for Jesus Christ, he takes time, as I've said, surrounded by sin, and he simply takes his pen, and as I've said, he writes to the church that he has already established, the Church of Thessalonica, and he states, brethren, pray for us. And the tense here of the thought of praying for us, it has the idea of continually praying. What he's really saying is, even though I have left you quite a while now, look, don't forget about me. And continually surround me and the missionary companions in prayer. As they ministered for Jesus Christ, they therefore, just like Luther and Melanchthon, they desperately needed and depended upon the prayers of God's people. And it's exactly the same with the work of Let the Bible Speak. In a sense, the method is a little different. We're using really primarily electronic means. The radio, television, the two main electronic means. There's also the shop that you're going to hear about tonight as well in the video. But primarily we are using different means in a sense, but the message is still the same. And the need for that message is still the same then. And the need of let the Bible speak is essentially the same as Paul was writing here to these believers in Thessalonica. Folks, we depend upon your prayers. We're thankful for the practical giving of God's people going throughout these, I think, 40 years anniversary this year, I believe, of let the Bible speak. We're thankful for that. But if there's one thing that you could do for us and we depend upon, we say to you tonight, pray for us, brethren and sisters. Surround us in prayer. Over the next weeks and months, take time to pray for us. Take a radio station. Take on Wednesday evenings, whenever you're here or even on your journey here, think about the Sky programs that are going live and the many thousands that are tuning in. Take a little time during the day, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, when you're in at lunch and you're maybe doing the dishes, you're out in the yard, whatever it might be. Take time, take a few minutes and surround us with prayer. So, what did Paul ask the church at Thessalonica to pray for? As he was ministering, as I've said, as he was bringing the word of God to the area of Corinth. Well, I just want to leave a few of those things with you tonight. As we think about what did Paul ask for prayer for, what are we asking for prayer for in terms of let the Bible speak this evening? The first item I believe he asked for in terms of prayer was he asked for the words liberty. The words liberty, verse 1, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified. As I've said, Paul is written to address a number of issues. He has dealt with the issue of the Lord's return in this book, and particularly chapter 2. And he's also dealt with that issue in chapter 1 as well. And you know what it's like, you're writing a letter yourself. Well, you could sign it off in many different ways. Many different ways. Many different greetings. And yet in this final chapter of this letter, this literal letter that Paul is writing to a literal church, he simply asks them to pray. To pray for us that the word of God may have free course. Now the term in the original text, have free course, and the original is just one verb, and it's the verb to run. And really what the idea here is of the Greek games, and it's really taking you to the athletic games. It's the idea of the runner in the race. And the thought here in the Greek is that the race, or the runner in the race, he wants to run, and he wants to run without any obstacles. Obviously, so that he may win. So that affects his dress, that affects how he's going to dress for the particular race. And obviously, even in terms of the race itself, he wants to ensure that there's no obstacles in his way, so that he has the best chance of succeeding in the race. And Paul uses this particular verb, run. Pray for us that the word of God may run, may have free course, may run without obstacles, as he asked the brethren in Thessalonica to pray. What's he saying? He's saying this. He's saying, as we preach the gospel in Corinth, there's obviously the potential, as anybody preaches the gospel anywhere, but especially in light of Corinth, in light of the society that he was preaching in light of the various sins as I have outlined to you, in light of obviously the potential obstacles that the word of God could meet, he tells them then to pray. Pray that the word of God would not meet with any obstacles. That's really what he's saying. He's asking this church that he knows, that he loves well, that he knows will pray for him. Saying, look, as we face the challenges of ministry in Corinth, pray then that the word of God would have free course. That it would be like the runner who wants to run well, without obstacle, without any hindrance. And that's what we want for you in terms of prayer tonight. And in the days and weeks to come. We want you to pray specifically that as the word of God is published through the airwaves and through the television as well, and through the various mediums of communication and in the different countries, pray that the word of God would have free course. It would not meet with any obstacles. You think of some of the obstacles that potentially the word of God could meet. You read, for example, the parable of the sower there in the Gospel of Mark. And you just look at that parable. There are a number of obstacles that the word of God can meet. Whenever it's sown in a heart, whether it's through a Sabbath day worship service, or whether it's through all of these various other various mediums of communication that I have said, There are so many potential obstacles that the Word of God can meet with. It can meet with distraction. Satan, of course, he can steal away the good seed. He is the fowler of the air, so to speak, the prince of the power of the air. There, of course, is the obstinacy of man's heart being sinful and depraved. And that's exactly the same with Let the Bible Speak. As radio programs go on in Kenya, Liberia, as they go on in the continent of Asia, countries like Sri Lanka, Nepal, Pakistan, it's exactly the same. Yes, there are openings, and we thank God for them through radio and various other means, through even Skype meetings and so on. There are various opportunities, yes, but the potential obstacles still very much remain there. It's the sinfulness of man. Man does not seek after God. The Bible tells us very, very clearly, Romans chapter 3, there is none that seeketh after God. And so there are countless, countless obstacles that the Word of God could meet. And so pray. Pray that the Word of God would have free course. Paul, he asked the church of Thessalonica to pray this for him, but he also asked the church at Colossae to pray this for him as well. The setting is different. He is now towards the end of his life. He's now imprisoned. And he writes from the prison cell in Colossians 4 verse 3, very similar words, praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. And the phrase, a door of utterance, here in the original, it's a little bit more specific. It's really a door for the word. It's not really to do with lucidity of speech or clarity of speech. It's really a door for the word. That's what he's simply asking them to pray for. It's not really his own personal utterance of the word, but it's an open door for the word of God. And there he was imprisoned, and yet he still tells the church at Colossae, look, pray for a door to be opened for the word. You could put it in another way. You could say, well, he was simply praying that the word of God would not meet with any obstacles. It would meet with open doors and not closed doors. So the word's liberty. He also asked them to pray for the word's victory. Verse 1, he takes the analogy a step further. Brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified. And be glorified. So you've seen already that Paul's in the Greek games here. He's in the athletic realm. And as he's taking the analogy of the Greek runner, the runner in the Greek games, the analogy is not really so much about running freely in the race. The analogy now is really about winning the race. And that's the phrase there, and be glorified. That's really what it's getting at. The picture there is of the idea of triumphing. And here's the runner. Why does the runner run? Well, he runs so that he wins. And in Greek games, it wasn't like the Olympic games today, where you have a medal draped around your neck. In Greek games, in Bible times, in the various games, the Athenian games, the Olympian games, the Isthmian games, individuals, whenever they would compete in those games, they would, of course, receive a crown, whenever they won. They would be on a podium, yes, but they would be crowned. And the idea here is of the runner being crowned, triumphing, winning, conquering, being victorious. And so Paul, he takes this analogy, and he asks this newly established flock in Thessalonica, and he's telling them, yes, pray for the word of God as we're in Corinth. Pray that it, yes, won't meet with any obstacles. Why? So that ultimately it will be crowned in lives. So that ultimately, as individuals listen to the truth, come into contact with the truth, as they imbibe that truth, then it will conquer them. The word of God will have victory in their lives. Ultimately, that they will come to Jesus Christ, that they will be converted. Now he gives them further encouragement here in this last little clause in verse 1. Be glorified even as it was with you. So you imagine he's writing here to a church who have had this experience in their own lives. And you read Acts chapter 17. Take time to read it in your own time. And yes, the word of God met with obstacles in Acts 17, but if you read Acts 17, when Paul went to Thessalonica, you read this. You read a great number believed. A great number believed. And they, of course, formed the church that Paul was writing to. So essentially saying, look, as it happened with you, as it was with you, as I came, as I preached the gospel in the synagogue, the opening 5 verses of Acts chapter 17, as it was with you, as it conquered your heart, as it conquered your life, as it won you, as it were, so to speak, as it was with you, as it happened with you, look, pray then it will happen in Corinth. Pray that then as Paul and his missionary team, as they would disseminate, as they would propagate the gospel, as they would bring the word of God, that it would crown lives, that it would be conquered in lives, that it would own lives, as it happened in Thessalonica. And yes, we pray for the running of God's word in hearts. Why? Ultimately, so that it will triumph in those hearts. That's why we're here to pray. That's why you're here to pray every Wednesday, isn't it? You're here to pray that locally. That as the work of God goes on, children's work, youth work, Sunday school work, other evangelistic efforts, you pray that the word of God would be glorified, that it would be crowned in the lives of this community. And of course, what greater encouragement have you not to pray than as we say in verse 1, as it was with you? You think of your own personal experience, how you personally came into contact with the gospel. And you know, because it was the same with you. You wanted nothing to do with Jesus Christ. Your heart was like every other heart in this world. You sought not after God. Your heart was deceitful. It was desperately wicked. It did not run towards God, but rather it ran from God, like Adam in the garden. But tonight you're here. Why? Because the word of God was glorified in your life. Because someone brought the gospel to you, and the Spirit of God took the word of God and applied it effectively and effectually to your heart. Tonight you can pray for let the Bible speak on good grounds then. As it has happened with you. As you heard the word of God through whatever the means. Maybe you did. I know people personally in my previous congregation in Londonderry. There was a young man who's a very faithful attender in the work. He's gone on so well with the Lord. And yet he was spoken to at university, through hearing the word of God over the internet, spoken to. Yes, he grew up in the church, but it really spoke to him through hearing the word of God on the internet. That possibly may not have been your experience. But as it was with you, as you came in contact with the word of God, as Christ conquered and owned your heart and life, pray then. Pray that for the work of Let the Bible Speak, as it comes into contact with hearts and difficult places, as we've already mentioned, pray that. Whenever Hudson Taylor was 18, he still wasn't a Christian. This is Hudson Taylor, of course, that obviously went to China to be a missionary. And his mum and dad, they decided they would do what we all do. They decided they would take a weekend break. They went, they headed up the country on a cottage break. And as I said, Hudson Taylor wasn't yet a Christian. His parents were fine Christians. And they left deliberately, his father left, a gospel tract, what we would call a gospel tract, just sitting out in the study. And Hudson Taylor's mother, she gave herself from 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock on the Saturday of that weekend away. She gave herself to prayer specifically for her son. Specifically for Hudson Taylor. 18, not a Christian. Whenever they returned from the break, young Hudson said he had something to tell Mum and Dad. And she smiled and she knew. Hudson Taylor came to Christ. Obviously he was familiar with the gospel, but what was the medium that God used to bring him to Christ? The prayers of God's people. The prayers of a concerned mother, of a loving mother. And there's encouragement for you tonight. Take time to pray as it is with you. Pray then that it will happen with others. The words liberty, victory. Lastly, I want you to think about the word safety here. Verse 2 then, Paul, he tells them to pray that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. Term delivered here, it really is that you've been rescued in the original text. Rescued from danger. And Paul, again, remember, he's writing to a church that knew what it was for individuals to make life dangerous for the preachers of the gospel. In Acts 17, verse 5, when Paul was bringing the gospel to Thessalonica, we read, But the Jews, which believed not, they were moved with envy. They took unto themselves certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and they set the city on an uproar and assaulted the house of Jason, sought to bring them out to the people. So they actually assaulted people for bringing the gospel. And really, Acts 17, Paul had to kind of slip away for the safety of his life south to Berea because of opposition. But here are people who know, who have experienced firsthand sometimes the danger that God's servants can experience when bringing the word of God, when preaching the word of God. And again, he's really saying, look, as it was with you, as I was there, as I experienced opposition, as I had to leave for fear of safety, pray then. Pray, verse 3, we'll be delivered, we'll be rescued, we'll be preserved from these unreasonable and these wicked men. Verse 3, for all men have not faith. All men are not going to believe. Paul knows this. He knows this theologically and he knows it experientially. He has seen it firsthand. He has experienced it with his own hands, in his own experience. And so he tells them to pray. Pray that they'll be kept safe as they brought the word of God. Ultimately, so that they can do what God has called them to do. Again, we ask you to pray that for the work of Let the Bible Speak. Now, that seems nearly strange to us here in Northern Ireland. We do know relative safety. Yes, there still is COVID and that kind of thing. But you know what I mean. In terms of preaching the gospel, we know relative freedom. We know relative safety. I'm one of the weekly radio broadcasters for Let the Bible Speak, and the only danger that I face really is my three daughters coming and interrupting me in the study whenever we're recording. We don't really know what it is to live under the threat of our very existence because of the preaching of the gospel. But folks, that cannot be said of places like Nepal, places like Sri Lanka. Nepal, I'm sure you'll remember, approximately 10 to 15 years ago when our brother, the late Reverend Wesley Graham, was going around doing deputations, speaking about the work of God in Nepal. And he spoke of how free it was to do evangelism. And how, and I can remember very, very vividly in my own church prayer meeting, sitting there and just the joy in his face as he spoke of going up the rivers in Nepal and hearing the children shout Jemise, which simply means God be with you. If that was to happen today, well, individuals perhaps could be imprisoned. You just cannot share the gospel now in Nepal the way you once could. And this is where Let the Bible Speak comes in. The beauty of Let the Bible Speak. Because whilst it's not as evangelism in countries like Sri Lanka, Pakistan, Nepal, India even, where the gospel is not, it cannot be preached freely. People meet in fear. They meet in fear in countries like India, countries like Sri Lanka, even Nepal. There's increased opposition. Yet the radio broadcasts still go out. And individuals are still being reached with the message of the gospel. Now, in terms of the radio work, as our brother even intimated in his prayer, it was really the vision of the late Dr. Cairns to start off the radio work, and it then developed into Let the Bible Speak. I'm told that it was very, very primitive at the beginning, and really it was a very, very basic kind of cassette recorder, and her brother would, and I'm only paraphrasing here, but he would sit in a little room in the old Cabra Church. Maybe some of you remember the old Cabra Church, and he would sit there. And he would literally record, and it would be on an old cassette. And that cassette would then have to be prized and kept and then sent off. And sometimes Dr. Cairns would have had to stop his recording because the room that he used for recording, well, outside it was a field. There was a field, and sometimes lambs would be joining in the recording, the bleating of the lambs and so on, and he would have to stop recording. So things were very, very primitive at the beginning. Those physical recordings were actually sent, the physical cassettes, they were sent to the Isle of Man and they were broadcast on Manx radio. The physical recordings were also sent across to America and then later to Canada. And of course, the work is then in radio broadcast, the work has blossomed into what it is today. And I can't go through all of the radio stations, obviously, for sake of time, and the video will sort of fill in the gaps, but I just want to mention a couple, really, in terms of items for prayer. I want you to remember the radio work of Let the Bible Speak, especially in the continent of Africa. As our brother intimated concerning the radio work in Liberia, it's a very profitable work. Let the Bible Speak actually broadcasts 24/7. And whenever you have our sister Joanne Greer, she'll show you in her DVD firsthand of just how popular the radio work is in Liberia. In her deputation DVD, she actually shows of how she's in a taxi with a taxi driver, and all of a sudden she's listening to the radio. She says, "Turn it up," and right enough, there they are. They're listening to Let the Bible Speak. And that's just one incident. Lockdown was actually very profitable for Liberia and for the church in Liberia, because they locked down just as we did with coronavirus in and around last March for a couple of months. But the radio work went on, and they found that whenever they reopened the church in Liberia, the main church there, in, I believe, in Monrovia, the church was actually so full that not everybody could fit in. Why? Because people had been tuning in to the Let the Bible Speak radio broadcast. So there's something encouraging out of lockdown. Maybe not in this country anyway, but God does work in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. So pray for the radio work in Liberia. They get visitors on a weekly basis through the radio work in Liberia. And so do please pray for that. The radio work in London has also been greatly used of God. Obviously the Reverend Patrick Baker was the main drive in that, and things have changed now. But it has been used of God in London, and the video will fill you in greater detail and paint a better picture about that. Another area of the radio work that I just want to highlight to you tonight is the radio work in Nepal. As I've said, the radio work in Nepal is certainly, in these days, it is a tremendous blessing and benefit. It's not as open, as I have said, to just simply evangelise, share the gospel. Really, that's illegal. The government have made that illegal. But as we've said, the radio work of Let the Bible Speak still takes the gospel to the land of Nepal. The work initially had just one programme a week in English, and that was primarily the drive of the Reverend Wesley Graham. But now, we have over 20 FM stations taking the gospel throughout Nepal. And just this year, Let the Bible Speak launched a special appeal. And there were little leaflets, kind of like this. You've obviously have one on your seat there. That's really just a summary of what we're saying tonight. But there were little leaflets put out. And really, there was an appeal made. And really, it was the desire to essentially have what happens in Liberia in Nepal for the area of Kathmandu. Kathmandu is about 5 million in terms of a catchment area, and it really was just the desire to have a 24/7 radio station, so we're not going to outsiders to pay them for radio time, but we're broadcasting our own programmes 24/7, and that money came in very, very quickly, and we thank you generally in terms of the Lord's people, we thank you for your general giving to that. So in due time there will be a radio station, a radio tower erected in Kathmandu, and that will hopefully reach all of the Kathmandu Valley area, 5 million souls with the gospel 24/7 on the radio. Also, we just highlight to you the television work. There's a lot of detail in that in the video, and we're not going to take up time going into detail about that. Just something to pray about, really. At the minute, obviously, we're still using Lurgan Prayer Meeting Room, which essentially that's what it is, for all of the recordings. And over the last number of years, it's been the desire of Let the Bible Speak to have a purpose-built facility. There is some ground out the back of Lurgan Church, I believe, and that really has been earmarked for a purpose-built facility for recordings. So we just ask you to pray about that. We do thank the Lurgan Church for the use of that room, and things do work reasonably well, but it is a desire to have a purpose-built facility for that. But obviously that takes time, it takes the leading of the Lord, it takes finance. So we specifically ask you to pray for that this year. In terms of the television work, really that's done by Let the Bible Speak Now when it all started. Help was hired in, and that was very costly. Equipment was hired in, but equipment has been purchased, and it's just lovely to see. I was there a few weeks ago doing the recordings, and lovely to see some young people involved from the Free Church, from our own denomination, using their talents and serving the Lord in that way. So do please pray for the work in Skye, as we have said, and specifically for that venture of the purpose-built facility. There's also the shop in Banbridge there about 3 years ago. There's a shop where people come. Obviously, it's a bit of a charity shop, really, and they come to buy wares, to buy goods, and so on. But there's obviously a lot of literature there and a lot of profitable conversations had. And again, the video will fill in the blanks and paint a far better picture about that. So we just want to thank you for your time. Again, I just highlight this to you. That really fills in the blanks, and that just summarises all we have said tonight, gives you the radio stations, etc. That's a good update sheet. But thank you very much for your time. And again, we just highlight, brethren, pray for us. Pray for the work of Let the Bible Speak, that God's word will have free course and be glorified. So I think we'll have the DVD just now. Thank you.
This is Leslie Curran saying hello and welcome in the Saviour's name to another gospel broadcast where we let the Bible speak. It's good to have you joining us, and we trust that as you hear the Word of God today, that the Lord will bless His truth to your heart. From its commencement in 1973, Let the Bible Speak has never lost sight of the vision set forth in our Savior's words, "Go ye and teach all nations." In obeying these words of commission, there's only one message to preach, Christ and Him crucified. And that one message has been proclaimed for over 40 years of gospel ministry on the world's radio waves. It's with deep sorrow that we mourn the passing of Dr. Alan Kearns, founder of Let the Bible Speak. As the resident preacher on radio in our formative years, his Spirit-anointed preaching, profound Bible knowledge, and immense theological insight were blessed to a worldwide congregation of thousands. Dr. Kearns continued his unstinting support of LTBS, giving wise counsel and sound advice as the work continued to grow and expand into a television outreach. The Lord has called him home to be where Christ is, and our great loss is his infinite gain. Listeners in the great African continent have heard this message, Christ and Him Crucified, on every program as it's beamed via shortwave transmitters across West, South, and East Africa on a 30-minute weekly broadcast. Airtime is also purchased on two FM stations in Kenya, each airing a weekly 15-minute program. In the Far East, a 30-minute program is heard each week on shortwave across the Indian subcontinent on the Bible Voice Network. The weekly cost of all these broadcasts is £355. India's northeastern neighbour, Nepal, has Let the Bible Speak broadcasting on over 20 FM stations. 10 of these transmit one 15-minute program 7 days a week, and 10 of them broadcast LTBS during one 15-minute slot twice each week. Some free airtime is available on the other stations. This amounts to a weekly cost of £577. On all these broadcasts, the Reverend Paul Thapa, moderator of the Free Presbyterian Church of Nepal, preaches the word, compiles the programs, and distributes them to the stations. Reverend Thapa has a burden to see the establishment of an LTBS-run station, replacing airtime on some existing stations and reaching a huge potential audience in the Kathmandu Valley. On average, close to 100 letters per month are received from listeners, many from very remote areas. The full-time field workers walk for many hours over difficult terrain to make personal contact with listeners, who are given a New Beginning booklet translated into Nepalese. The men receive financial support from LTBS with a contribution from churches in Nepal. To date, 16 churches have been formed in various villages, made up of converts to Christ from the radio programs. The Lord has blessed His word in Nepal in a great and gracious way. Nearer home, London's Premier Radio airs our 5 13-minute programmes with a weekly outlay of £250. The Reverend Patrick Baker, our minister in London, is the resident preacher.
London itself is a very different place to be compared to, you know, towns and where I was in Lewes. It was quite a smaller town. Walthamstow is northeast London, very, very populous area, and again, very, very diverse, as you can see around the streets. The radio work here, it began during the ministry of Reverend Gordon Ferguson. They moved into this present premises around 2001, this building here, and I believe a couple of years afterwards, the radio ministry, the Let the Bible Speak ministry, began around that time. The first time I arrived here in the church, the one thing I noticed straight away when I got to know some of the people in the church is that people had come as a result of the radio ministry. And since then people have come and gone, but there's still those present with us today, and they came directly as a result of listening to Let the Bible Speak broadcasts. Let the Bible Speak ministry here in London, it's aired through Premier Christian Radio. Ourselves, we broadcast 5 times a week. The programmes go out at 1 a.m. each day, so Monday to Friday, and they last about 13 minutes or so. People often ask the question, you know, why do you broadcast that in a particular time, and do people listen? Premier Christian Radio in the past have relayed to us that, you know, quite a number of people are listening at that particular time for all sorts of different reasons. People are working different times, but we're very thankful for this opportunity. The range of the broadcast in the last few years has certainly expanded. I think in the early days it was only, you know, through medium wave, so the catchment area was just the London district. But with the dawn of digital radio, it means that our programmes, they go out throughout the entirety of the United Kingdom. Every now and then we get some written correspondence. I've found usually the written correspondence comes from prisoners, people that are serving time for different reasons. One piece of correspondence I got was actually from a young lady, and she says in the letter that myself and other of the inmates always are blessed and spiritually uplifted during our 15 minutes of Let the Bible Speak programmes on Premier Christian Radio. Another letter which I got from a man called Kevin, so he's serving time up in Scotland. He said this: you have become a kind of friend to me and a constant support to me through the terrible time I go through in prison. He says, please can I ask you to pray for me? So again, another example of someone in a very difficult part of life, you know, inwardly or physically imprisoned, but we hope the gospel can, you know, set people free spiritually.
In the Irish Republic, our broadcasts, which now number 12 per week, reach many on both sides of the border. Recent additions to the schedule include a Wednesday afternoon slot on Radio Star, available to us when Clogher Valley moved their program from this spot to 12 noon each Lord's Day. And on Radio North, we now air a 30-minute program each Sabbath afternoon at 3 p.m., broadcasting the audio track of our TV broadcasts. These stations incur a weekly cost of approximately £300. Our quarterly magazine is much valued by listeners who have little or no access to sound gospel literature and don't have the privilege of sitting under a biblical ministry. The printed page is yet another means of spreading the word. We print 3,000 copies each quarter at an annual cost of £7,500. Copies go to radio listeners, our congregations here and on the mainland, and we also send to 15 churches in our sister denomination in North America. In addition to our radio and television outreaches, the opening of our LTBS shop in Banbridge gives opportunity for a local street witness to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Several hundred Bibles from sales and gifts, and hundreds more of gospel tracts and LTBS publications have passed into the hands of those here in Northern Ireland and visitors from outside the province. Many of the numerous personal contacts have led on to encouraging and spiritually profitable conversations.
The Lord has really blessed the way things is working out in shop, both with donations and with our customer base. In the last 12 months or so, the customer base has probably doubled. We had one family in particular come in through from Dublin, and they bought a plaque saying "You must be born again" that was to go above their hall door so that anybody coming into their home would know that they needed to be saved. This family was saved through outreach in the middle of Dublin, and they're now, as a family, doing outreach themselves. They're also leaving information into the local chapels, which includes Let the Bible Speak information, which is great. We're very grateful for all the donations. We're grateful for our volunteers, and we're grateful for the public support. For one customer coming in with a bag of stuff is just as important as a large consignment of donations. We would ask for prayer that things here would continue, that the Lord would give us opportunities to speak to people, to hand out Let the Bible Speak literature, and that He would continue to bless us just as a public witness here for what Let the Bible Speak does. We have a lot of people on prayer request lists. We have 2 books of them now. So we have a lot of folk that need prayer. We would just ask that you would continue to remember those people that are on the list as well. We would ask that you would pray as well. There's a Bible that stays in the front window, large giant print Bible, and we would ask that you would pray that even people reading that on the way down past. We have council workers that read it every day. They ask me to turn the page over if they've got the page read that they're on, so that'll still continue, and we would ask that even through the Bible in the window, that would be a witness for the Lord.
The television program continues sounding out the good news. Now, with our own equipment and trained volunteer equipment operators, production costs will be much reduced. Television, just like radio, is still a very cost-effective way to reach lost souls with the message of the cross. It's equally effective in feeding the flock of God on the finest of the wheat. We want to reach those in the United Kingdom and the Irish Republic with the message of Christ and Him crucified. The TV broadcasts air each Wednesday at 6:30 a.m. and 7:30 p.m. on the Revelation Channel 581 on Sky TV. They can also be viewed on Freesat, Channel 692, and Freeview HD, Channel 264. For more information, do check details on our website, ltbs.tv. The LTBS website is well worth a visit. At ltbs.tv, you catch up on the latest LTBS news. Access our recently broadcast audio and TV programs, and view past issues of the LTBS quarterly magazine. Our daily devotional is there as well. It's available to read and also listen to as an audio recording. You can sign up for the devotional and have it delivered to your phone or computer. It provides you with a brief daily meditation on a text of Scripture and concludes with a notable quotation from a preacher or writer, giving you yet more food for thought. There's a great outreach yet to be done, and many still to be won for Christ. Let's make full use in this internet and digital age of all legitimate means to proclaim the gospel to the needy. With your help and support, much has been accomplished, and without it, we would not now be continuing to let the Bible speak on air. Your support, prayerfully and financially, has been an indispensable part of this ministry, and we thank you in the Lord's name. We must lengthen our cords and strengthen our stakes if we are to meet the increasing costs of airtime and the additional outreach planned in the Lord's will. Another generation of Free Presbyterians, responding to the Savior's words, "Go and teach all nations," will ensure that Let the Bible Speak will have an ongoing witness to the nations of the world.
For bringing us the Word of God this evening, and even that encouragement to continue to remember the work of God in prayer. I want to thank him as well for the update and also the report and the video that we've been able to see. We're going to